be reading from two texts this morning. And the first text is from Isaiah chapter 1. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. And then if you also have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 1. And as I mentioned, I'm using this study week to help prepare for preaching and teaching through Isaiah in September. And again, this is our test flight. Isaiah is 66 chapters. If you were to measure its length in verses, Isaiah is the fourth longest book of the Bible. The third longest book, according to verse count, would be Jeremiah, and then Genesis, and then, of course, the book of Psalms. Isaiah was a prophet who lived about 700 years before Jesus. He lived, and some contemporaries of his would be the prophets Micah, Hosea, Amos, and Jonah. Of course, some of the most well-known verses of the Bible, especially of the Old Testament, come from Isaiah, and some prophecies like the virgin birth prophecy. As we think about sonship, you should keep that in mind. It was given to the king mentioned here in verse 1, that prophecy to King Ahaz. One of the glorious promises of Isaiah chapter 25 is the death of death. So one day death will come to an end. Isaiah 25 verse 8, Isaiah says, "He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces." So that's something that we're looking forward to. There's a now aspect of that with the resurrection of Jesus, but we are awaiting the return of Jesus and the final bringing of that last enemy, death, under Jesus' feet, as Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 15. Another well-known prophecy of Isaiah would be in Isaiah 53, so you'll have to wait a couple months for me to get to Isaiah 53. Some people are like, "How long is it going to take you to preach for Isaiah?" Yeah, my wife's giving me the look. I don't know. So maybe in a couple of years we'll be in Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, of course. And many popular phrases and idioms in the English language come from the book of Isaiah through the King James Bible. For example, in Isaiah 2, they will hammer their swords into plowshares. Now, that's from Isaiah the prophet. Holy, holy, holy. Isaiah chapter 6. Here am I, send me. Or the wolf and the lamb will graze together. The valley of vision in Isaiah chapter 22. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Yep, that was Paul. Yep, that was the Epicureans, but that was also a saying in Isaiah's day. The desert will rejoice and blossom. Comfort, comfort my people. All flesh is grass. A drop in the bucket. The nations are like a drop in the bucket. Isaiah 40, verse 15. World without end. Isaiah 45. No peace or no rest for the wicked. They will see eye to eye. Isaiah chapter 52. As a lamb led to the slaughter. Isaiah 53. Everyone who thirsts, let him come to me and drink. That comes from Isaiah 55. Rise and shine. That's Isaiah chapter 60. So some of your parents may say that to your children. Holier than thou. You might think that was a 21st century thing. That goes back to Isaiah chapter 65. And of course, the new heavens and the new earth. And one of the key things to understand about Isaiah is its connection to Jesus. Its connection to Jesus and the Gospels. Jesus, who is now at the right hand of God the Father, and Jesus, who will return to judge the living and the dead. And that the first heavens and the first earth are passing away, but there will be a new heavens and a new earth, and there will be no more death, there will be no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And you can taste of that hope today through faith in Jesus, the Son of God. So to help us to better see more clearly the connection between Isaiah and Jesus, I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 1. One of the least known phrases of Isaiah, and I hope it becomes one of your most favorite phrases from Isaiah, comes from our text in verse 1. And Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So you might not have that memorized yet. Kids, you can catechize your parents later and ask what the sermon was about. But I hope this becomes one of your favorite phrases. As I just gave a list of the phrases, I hope this is at the top of your list as it is at the top of mine. So I want you to listen carefully. I'll be reading Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and then Matthew 1, 1 through 9. And I want you to listen and see if you can see the connection that is being made. So be starting with Isaiah chapter 1. Hear the living word of the living God. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, concerning Judah and Jerusalem, which he saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Alas, sinful nation, people weighed down with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. Its desolation is overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left us a few survivors, we would be like Sodom. We would be like Gomorrah. And if you turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 1, I'll be reading verses 1 through 9, and also be reading from verse 18 through verse 25, Matthew chapter 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by Bathsheba, who had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asa. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. Then reading from verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is living and active. And we thank you, Jesus, that in the fullness of the time, you being the word, that you took upon yourself flesh and blood. We thank you, Father, indeed, that it was in the fullness of time that you, Father, sent your Son, who is born of a woman, born under the law, that you, Jesus, might redeem those who were under the law, that we might, through faith in Jesus, receive the adoption as sons. We thank you that because we are sons, Father, through faith in your Son Jesus, who is now at your right hand, we thank you that we have received the promised Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, who has been sent and from our hearts and our soul, through whom we can cry out to you now, Abba, Father. We thank you so very much, Father, that we are no longer slaves. We thank you that we are now sons. And just as your Son is the inheritor of the nations, we thank you for our inheritance in Jesus. And we ask now that you would give us open our eyes through your Spirit, that we might see, our ears that we might hear, our hearts that we might understand, our hearts that we might live for that inheritance that is laid up for us at your right hands, that we might live and walk by faith. And we pray for those who are still dead in their transgressions and sins, those who are sons and daughters of this age which is passing away, who are under the dominion of the devil. We ask, O Lord, that you would set them free. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. So from our reading of both Isaiah chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1, were you able to make any kind of connection between the two texts? See one head nodding. Any short answer by the connection that you found in the two texts?
Same list of kings.
Yeah, there was the same list of kings as you see here in chapter 1, verse 1 of Isaiah, and in Matthew chapter 1. Of course, the quotation from the prophet comes from the prophet Isaiah also. But in the listing of Jesus, the Son of God, and his genealogy, there's this emphasis on sonship. Jesus, his genealogy goes back to Joram, who's the father of Uzziah, and that's where Isaiah begins. This is where his prophetic ministry begins, Uzziah. Uzziah was the father, so think of father, son, family. Again, as we're thinking of who Jesus is and what is Isaiah all about, Uzziah is the father of Jotham. Jotham is the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. And as you move down that line, you come to Jesus and his lineage. His lineage is that he is a descendant. He is the son of David, and we read about that in Matthew chapter 1. But he is also the son of God. Now, as we think about genealogies, this, again, might not initially be your favorite phrase from the book of Isaiah. Maybe you've never even memorized a genealogy or a part of a genealogy, except maybe your own genealogy. Maybe you can trace back a few generations or maybe longer if you're into that. But if you ever have traced back your genealogy, you know, I'm curious, how far back have you ever gone? I have a great aunt on my mother's side, and she, I don't know if this is accurate, but she started tracing our genealogy on my mom's side, the Pratt side, and I think she got back to about 1200. And it is kind of interesting because, yeah, I may probably be related to some famous people, but that's not really my point right now. But have you ever done that, a genealogical study of your family? And has anyone gotten back further than 800 years ago? No? All right, I'm just trusting my great aunt, so that's what she said. But maybe you guys have done an ancestry test, like one of those DNA swaps, where you send it in and you learn something about, I don't know how accurate that is, but you say, oh, I'm 20% this, I'm 2% that. Our family did this a couple of years ago, and we had a big reveal. So my parents are the ones that footed the bill, and so they're the ones that found out, you know, our lineage, and so that we had a big reveal party and a celebration when we learned that we are like 2% Jewish. You know, so hey, you know, we were really happy about that. and you know, as you think about genealogy, and again, this is where we're at in Matthew's gospel, and of course in Isaiah. Why do people do their genealogies? Why do people do their history through their DNA? And one of the reasons is it helps teach us about our origins. It helps teach us about our own family history. And it may say something, I don't know, again, about the DNA thing, how much it says about our identity, but it says a little bit. It says maybe a little bit about our culture and our history. And a difference between what we do with our genealogies today and biblical genealogy is that biblical genealogy is similar because it can tell you about your past. It can tell us about who Isaiah is and what's going on in his day. It can tell us about the present and how we are to live today. But biblical genealogy is about the future. And this is why it's a vision. This is one of the glories of biblical genealogies, is that it's not just about the past. And by the way, if you were to trace your genealogy all the way back, you could do that today. You could go back to Adam and Eve. So it goes a lot further, you know, than 1200 AD. We all go back to Adam and Eve. And when I introduced the sermon this morning, remember I gave some common phrases from the prophet, holier than thou, for example. But this, I believe, in verse 1, is one of the most important phrases for understanding the book of Isaiah and understanding the relationship of Isaiah and this prophecy to Jesus, who is the Son of God. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And again, if I were to pull you before the sermon and say, what kind of sermon do you want me to preach on, and give you all these phrases, I'll bet this would be the last one you choose. But it's the first one Isaiah chooses by the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, to give to us. Now, Isaiah isn't the only prophet to do this, is he? You begin reading some of the other prophets and the shorter prophets, the 12 shorter prophets, sometimes called the minor prophets, not because they're of lesser importance, but because they're shorter. And they often start in a similar way, kind of like the gospel. Matthew begins with a genealogy. So you think Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, Micah, Zephaniah, they also open up with similar kinds of genealogies. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 1. Hosea was a contemporary of Isaiah. The word of the Lord which came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, during the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. Now, initially, you might look at this opening verse and say, boring, genealogy, time for sleep. Or you might just think, oh, this is an interesting historical setting. And of course, it is important because Christianity is rooted in flesh and blood history. It's what makes Christianity different from every other religion. Christianity isn't just an idea, a philosophy, some invention in the mind. This is what God has done in the world that he created, the world that has fallen, and the world that he is redeeming. This is what God is doing and how he is at work in the world today, in our present. But if you go back, say, to the King Uzziah, King Uzziah lives, you know, he reigned from the year 749 BC to 734 BC. And you're like, okay, well, that's an interesting historical fact. But I don't think that's exactly why Isaiah is reminding us of the kings and when he reigned. But you can figure from this that Isaiah was a prophet who prophesied his ministry lasted about 50 years. So that is important. He's one of the longest prophets with this prophetic ministry. So from Uzziah to Jotham to Ahaz and to fourth one? You guys got to memorize this. Hezekiah, there you go. All right, very good. Now, you might, again, think I'd rather have a sermon on beating their hammer, you know, hammering their swords into plowshares. But, and here's what one of the greatest preachers of last generation said about this text. So Martin Lloyd-Jones, in a sermon on Isaiah 1, says this. And I think this is how some people feel. I've never heard of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, or Hezekiah before, and it would make no difference if I ever heard from them or about them again. What has all this got to do with modern men and women surrounded as we are by problems and difficulties and trials living in the world today? And it's like, well, yeah, I can. That makes sense initially, right? And so you realize this is how Matthew opens. You know, this is so important that we better hear and understand it. So you might initially think this is going to make no difference at all. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. You know, what was the sermon about? I don't know, some four guys that are dead and long ago. That's not what Isaiah and what this introduction is about. What is happening and what's happening in Matthew's gospel helps us to understand that this is all about the gospel. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the good news 700 years before Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Isaiah is announcing the good news of what God was going to do in his day, 700 years before Jesus, that means 2,700 years ago from our day, and what he would do today, in our day, present, and also what God is going to do in the future. And this genealogy that Isaiah and other prophets open with in the Gospel of Matthew, and also Luke does the same thing in chapter 3, is for all peoples. This is what I want you to understand. It's for all genealogies, whatever genealogy is. It's for all nations, and it is for all time. And again, this is why we read from Matthew chapter 1 to make this connection. You and I can become a part of a genealogy that lives forever through faith in Jesus, the Son of God. So your genealogy going back to our first parents, we die. We live in a fallen, sin-cursed world. But there's a genealogy that Isaiah is now prophesying during, the Davidic genealogy, as we'll look at in a minute. And it's this genealogy that Isaiah is prophesying and looking forward to, a son who would obey and a son who would bring all things under his feet. It's essential to the gospel, again, because these kings here in verse 1, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, they are all descendants of King David. So King David is the first king of Israel after King Saul. And this matters because Isaiah and the vision, again, this is not something that Isaiah conjures in his mind and thinks this is a good idea. He's going to actually name later in Isaiah, he's going to name generations after him. One of my, it's not my favorite prophecy of Isaiah, one of the most incredible prophecies of Isaiah, though, is at the end of chapter 44 and the beginning of chapter 45, where Isaiah prophesies the name, not just a genealogy and a son, but he prophesies the name of a king of Persia who would be born over 100 years later. It's amazing, Cyrus. So he prophesies that name before he's born. And of course, there's a greater king after Cyrus who would be born, and that's who we are to be looking to. So with Isaiah here, in the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, we are reminded that God has a plan for the world. God had a plan for the world in Isaiah's day. God had a plan for the Jews in Isaiah's day. God has a plan, and it's through his son, for all generations. He has a plan for you and for me today. Genealogies, as we've learned, they tell us about our origins and our relationships. And Isaiah is a prophet, and through Isaiah, God tells us about our origins, going by all the way back to creation, to Adam and Eve, and then our relationship to God, because God is our maker. And as we move on here in verse 2, notice this continuation of genealogy and sonship. And we learn in verse 2 that God has sons and daughters. He refers to the daughter of Zion in verse 8. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I have reared and brought up, but they have revolted against me. Now, what does that mean, that God has sons? Well, of course, it goes back to creation, but it also moves forward, doesn't it, to redemption. So as God's son, his sons, think God is the father, right? You go back to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, and God is a father, as it were. He takes from the earth, the womb of the earth, and he takes dust from the earth, and he creates our first parent, our first father, Adam. All of us have that same Adam. That's how God created Adam. He is the father of all. And then from Adam, he takes from Adam's side one of his ribs, and he forms our first mother, Adam and Eve. So God has sons. God has children. Now, this is the sad news. This is one of the saddest verses in all of Isaiah. Are God's sons obedient? Were our first parents obedient, as a child should be to their father and their mother? No. And in fact, parents, isn't this what you're catechizing your children in? You should begin being able to make this connection. Remember in question 16 of the Shorter Catechism, did all mankind fall in Adam's first transgression? Some of you young people have probably better memories than I do, so I have my notes here. But you remember the answer to this question. It ties right in with the gospel. It ties right in with everything we're learning from Matthew today and Isaiah. The covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, right, sons and daughters, genealogies, generations, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation sinned in him and fell in him in his first transgression. What is ordinary generation? If you ever wonder that, young people, when your parents are teaching it and you're memorizing it? Ordinary generation, that's genealogy, isn't it? So when you read so-and-so is the son of, you know, the father of, or the daughter of, that's genealogy, that's ordinary generation. Everyone descending from Adam and Eve, you and me, we sinned in Adam. We fell in him. We have inherited death. Thanks, Dad and Mom. Yeah. And you might have a great and glorious inheritance, right? So maybe you have wealthy parents. How long is that going to last? Because you're not going to live forever on this earth. And that's what the catechism is teaching us. This is the gospel. And all of us, again, if we could trace our genealogy back, we go to Adam. And we also can trace our genealogy into the future, in a sense, because we know where our life is going to end. So if you know, I was born in 1971, I don't know the day I will die, but I know until Jesus returns, my body will return back to the dust of the earth. That's ordinary generation. Did God leave all mankind to perish in the estate of sin and misery? No. God, having out of his mere good pleasure from all eternity, elected some to everlasting life, did enter into a covenant of grace to deliver them out of their estate of sin and misery and to bring them into an estate of salvation by a redeemer. The rest of the story of the Old Testament is about the birth of the Son, the birth of God's Son, the birth of a redeemer who would save his people from their sins. That's Matthew 1, verse 18. That's why Jesus was given the name Jesus. After all those genealogies in the Old Testament, you know, I know you do it. I do the same thing. You read 1, 2, skip a few, and then you go to the very end of the genealogy. But the very end of the genealogy is Jesus. And here is one, Joseph, right? He's betrothed to Mary, and Mary is pregnant, and Joseph knows, this is not my son. He's going to divorce her quietly. The angel of the Lord says to Joseph, Joseph, this is what God's people have been waiting for ever since the fall of our first parents. This is what we've been waiting for since God preached the gospel in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The seed of the woman will crush the seed of the serpent. The seed, that's descendants, that's a son. And Joseph, the one who is in the womb of Mary, she is a virgin, she is the one that Isaiah later would speak about in Isaiah chapter 7. She is conceived by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And this is where genealogies are leading in the Old Testament. They're all leading ultimately to the birth of the Son of God. So you think of the Garden of Eden. Why did God elect Abraham? Right? You think of the long story of Abraham. And in the book of Genesis, you're reading all these genealogies in Genesis chapter 5, for example. Then you get to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and it's about this guy that can't have a son. The genealogies have stopped. And for the next 10 chapters, this man who ends up being 100 years old and his wife about 90, they finally have a child. But for 25 years, they can't have a child. And yet the story of Father Abraham, and he's my father, he's your father through faith. And it's the story of genealogy. And what's that all about? Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. After he finally has the son, Abraham, I want you to wake up tomorrow. I want you to take your son, your only son, the son whom you love. That word, whom you love, is a beautiful word in Greek. Your beloved. Agapetos. Because it will happen again in Matthew 3. And I want you to take that beloved son to the mountain I will show you. And I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. That's the end of genealogies there. Right? But Abraham saw the day of Christ. And that is a genealogy you all have memorized. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And maybe you do know the 12 sons of Jacob after that. But through one of those sons, Judah. And through that son, Judah, then, as the story of God's son progresses in the Old Testament, it would be through the line of David. You remember that in the time of Moses, where Moses appears to Pharaoh, that great kingdom of Egypt, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn, so I said to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. Hosea 11, verse 1, when Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The sonship of God, the story of his son, now we come to the beginning of Isaiah's vision. And Isaiah now is given a vision. And part of it does certainly look back to God, who is our maker, and the fall, the disobedience of Israel. But it's always looking forward to the Redeemer, Jesus, the Son of God, who had become man, being the eternal Son of God, took upon himself flesh and blood. And but the sad thing about, and we've already mentioned this, is that God's Son was disobedient. So Israel in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, was the Son of God. And you can hear the pain in the Lord's voice. Sons I have reared in verse 2 and brought up. So as a father, God is reared, he's brought up. Now, like a father, God is the God of all generations. So he knows, as a father, he's speaking generationally. I've reared sons, I've brought them up, but what have they done? And we all know, if you've lived for one generation, if you have sons and daughters, you can know that pain of bringing up a son or a daughter who turns their back on the Lord. God is the one who's looking at all of mankind, all of humanity, not just the Jews and his son in that day, but he's looking at all mankind and how all mankind turn their back on their father, their maker, their creator. And for Israel, it was their redeemer, because now Isaiah is addressing the covenant people of God. He is addressing the kings of Israel, because it would be through David's line, David, who is the one chosen, that it would be through his seed, through the seed of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, that the Redeemer would come. Notice the disobedience in verse 4 of our text. Offspring of evildoers, sons who act corruptly. They have abandoned the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. Now that word despised will come up later in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, concerning God's Son, his servant. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away from him. And again, that turning away, you know, think forward to Isaiah chapter 53. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And the good news of the genealogy here, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, the good news of this genealogy is that God will continue to move forward in history to bring forth his Son, with whom he is well pleased. This Son who would be born of this particular genealogy in the fullness of time, he would be born to obey the Father. I always do the things that are pleasing to the Father, Jesus would say. You and I can't say that. Jesus can't. He would be born to be despised by his own people, to be despised by God's Son, the nation of Israel. He would be born to be despised, to being crucified on the cross. He would be born, though, so that through his being despised for our iniquities and our transgressions, they would be cast on him. And that would be the means by which the Son, the obedient Son, that Isaiah is looking forward to, the one now who we look back, who has finished work, and as we look forward to his return, it would be through that obedience that the Son would sit at the right hand of God the Father, and all peoples and nations would be brought under his feet. All the rest of the prophecy of Isaiah are rooted in this genealogical verse. Think of Isaiah chapter 7, which I've referred to several times. It was a prophecy given to one of the sons of David, Isaiah 7. It was given to the king Ahaz. So you have Uzziah, and then you have Jotham and Ahaz. And to Ahaz, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Ahaz, son of David, behold, a virgin will be with child and will bear a son. And think of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Some of the verses that are most popular. To us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, Isaiah is not just for individuals. It's not just for Old Testament or ethnic Israel. God's Son is for all nations and for all time. It's for all nations in their systems of righteousness and justice. And that's why Matthew's gospel begins with the genealogy of Jesus. But unlike Old Testament Israel, God's rebellious son, Jesus, as he's coming from the River Jordan in Matthew chapter 3, you remember what happens? The Son of God comes from the River Jordan, and the heavens open up. The Spirit of God descends on Jesus as a dove. And the Father speaks from heaven, and he uses the same language in Isaiah, or as we noted in Genesis chapter 22. This is my agapetos. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And Jesus goes on to obey. And he went on to obey out of love. Jesus went on to obey for our righteousness. Isn't that an amazing thing, to be loved by a God who is eternal? To be loved by a God not only because he is our maker, but because he is our redeemer. And to be loved by a God who loves us so much that he would send his only begotten Son for our righteousness and for our sin. As filthy as that sin is, all of us have become like one who is unclean, Isaiah says in chapter 64. And all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And as the obedient son, later in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 27, hang from a cross, do you remember what the son, the Old Testament son of God, would say to him from the cross? Save yourself. If you are the son of God, come down from the cross. He trusts in God. Let him deliver him now. If he takes pleasure in him, which God the Father does, if he takes pleasure in him, for he said, I am the Son of God. And that is the great mystery of Isaiah, that the very one in whom the Father takes pleasure, that he would be despised and rejected so that we might be born again. Today you can be related, and if you are a Christian, you already are. You can have a brand new genealogy. You can have a brand new start. You think of the oldness of the old creation and all of the consequences and the effects of the curse. That's why he took upon himself the crown of thorns, the thorns and thistles of the curse. It's done. It's finished. That's why the Son of David was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And you can start as a new creature, a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in First John, all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but of God. Are you related to God the Father through faith in his Son Jesus? And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, God the Holy Spirit is given to you. And it's from the work of the Spirit through whom we can cry out, Abba, Father. This new genealogy means you have a new family. You have new brothers and new sisters. Look around you. These are the brothers and the sisters that God the Father gave to God the Son out of love. Pray that you would be growing in the fruit of the Spirit and your love for one another. Maybe you are a covenant son or daughter who has wandered from the faith. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 3, an ox knows its owner, and a donkey, its master's manger. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. The good news of the gospel, and this is the good news Isaiah is prophesying as well, God sent his son Jesus to go after prodigal sons and daughters. It's not too late to come home. The Father will welcome you with open hands in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, as we think about families and parents, teach your children. Teach your children these glorious truths. Teach your children about their genealogy. Teach your children about the inheritance that they have received from you. But teach your children about the inheritance that is found through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that this genealogy that you now have memorized with Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, it's your genealogy through faith in Jesus. This is who you are. So that 1,200, going back 800 years, my great aunt Dorothy, and I can go even further back through faith. I'm through faith in Jesus. I'm a child of Abraham. He's my father through faith. So I pray that this is something that you as you read and you study, and I'm just beginning the journey of Isaiah, but this is the overarching place where Isaiah is going. And I pray that God would give us something of a greater understanding of the inheritance that we have through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so very much that we can call upon you as our Father who art in heaven, and that you, Jesus, the Son, taught us that we could pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son into an unholy world, a world that was under the curse for sin, and that you did so to save sinners. And we thank you that this is the great demonstration, Father, of your love for us. We marvel, as the scriptures marvel, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. We thank you, Jesus, that our sonship is through adoption. And we thank you, Father and Son, for the gift of the Spirit, that the Spirit of adoption through whom we can cry out now to you is our Abba, Father. Oh, Lord Jesus, will you grant your Spirit today, not only to us as individuals, will you grant your Spirit to our children, our covenant children, to our children who have wandered and turned their back on you like Israel did in Isaiah's day? Will you grant your Spirit to those who have turned their back completely on you and to generations that do not acknowledge you? We thank you that we live in that great age of, in this day of salvation, in which all the ends of the earth are being called and assembled to worship you in spirit and truth. Will you add, for your glory, to the number of those who call upon your name? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn with me now in your Psalters to Psalm 87. I'll be singing Psalm 87, the A selection. You may know your genealogies better than others. Hopefully we've learned a lot about our genealogy in the Lord Jesus Christ today. But how many of you have ever sung about your genealogy? And that's what we're doing here in Psalm 87. Genealogies are so wonderful that this is one of the new songs that God has placed on our hearts and on our lips. Psalm 87 is about the rebirth of the nations in Zion, which is another name for Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, Zion here, is spoken of in the feminine because she is a pregnant woman giving birth. But she's a pregnant woman giving birth to the nations. That's why Jesus had to die in Jerusalem. That's why the disciples had to wait in Jerusalem for the pouring forth of the Holy Spirit. So notice in verse 4, I will mention Rahab. So you moms who have given birth to children, all of us have moms who gave birth to us. God gave birth to nations. Imagine that. I shall mention Rahab and Babylon among those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. This one was born there. There's the rebirth. The nations are being born again, born from above, in Zion. But of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born of her. Verse 6 also, the Lord enlisting citizens notes, he was born there too. The Lord has a genealogical listing, and you can be put on that listing, that census of the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, through faith in Jesus. So if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, do that today, and God will put you down on his census. He will take that name down, and his name will be placed on you in baptism, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if your name is on that census of heaven, that's why we can say, my springs are found in you, my springs of joy. I pray that this is your joy as it is mine.